A kua mihi a ngā mihi, kua karakia ngā karakia. Tēnā koutou e ngā tangata whenua, tēnei kāinga, tēnei takiwā, mihi mai nei ki a mātou ko tatū mai, mihi mai, mihi mai, mihi mai. How many people here are not a descendant of Māori tikitiki a tālanga? Okay, how many people here are not a descendant of kupe? And you see, what about two Hawaiki? it occurs to me that this people of ours, the Māori people of Aotearoa, our origins in traversing the Pacific and making our way to Aotearoa was really about te pai roa, about te pai tawhiti. It was about ongoing sustainability, about survival, about achievement, about providing a future for our tamariki and our mokopuna tuarua. And of course the waka that followed kupe were a consolidation of that dream, a consolidation of that aspiration, and it was really about whānau ora. It was about surviving, whānau surviving in a new environment. And throughout our history, I think we've come across challenges, constitutional challenges, social challenges, economic challenges, all along a continuous path of trying to make sure that we can provide for sustenance for our children and for our future descendants. And this path towards sustainability, I think, has been characterized already, and it's useful to provide a characterization of economic, environmental, cultural, and social. And I think what Sir Tamati described this morning in terms of the 1984 hui and the aspirations of Kura Wetere, then Minister of Māori Affairs, the person of whom I have the utmost respect, are all continuing along that path that Māori set, the path that kupe set, the path towards our mana tuku iho, as Sir Tamati puts it, our mana Māori motuhake, as Sir Tipene puts it. And so here we are in 2014, still progressing along that path towards sustainability. And we're asking ourselves now, what are iwi, what are whānau, what is the relationship between them, and how do we balance the aspirations and hopes between them? And I think it's true to say that they are probably different creatures now to what they were before. And certainly iwi today are a much more pragmatic manifestation of Māori social organisation than they would have been in the past. But it's also true to say, I think, that Māori whānau are not quite what we used to be. We have abandoned in many respects our communal accountability. We have Māori whānau now living in a contemporary society, in nuclear families, in a consumerist society, at the behest and at the whim of a political economy. And I really adhere to the perspective that Sir Tipene talked about in terms of a political septic tank. Because I think our history has shown the footprints are all there for the machinations, the changes, the ups and downs, the attacks upon mana tukuiho, the attacks upon mana Māori motuhake that were there then, have continued to plague us throughout our history and continue to plague us today. So in terms of how iwi might cater to the aspirations and hopes of whānau, we're no longer in an environment where whānau are dependent on iwi. We're no longer in an environment where iwi are dependent on whānau. And so we have a bit of a disconnect there, I think, and it's something that we do really have to address. Because in the context of treaty settlements, and I'm one of the iwi that has followed the path of some of the larger iwi in terms of settlement. Why? Because you want to establish an economic, political, social, and environmental platform by which you can provide for the future sustainability of your people. I don't think there's any iwi in the country that's ever settled that hasn't thought about the whānau and how it might deliver to those whānau. The trick, of course, is how do we do it? And when we look at claim settlements, we can see that there are already some tracks there that have been cut for us. not the least of which by Ngaitahu, in terms of the settlement that Ngaitahu negotiated and reached. And I was fortunate enough to be present in the context of those discussions, and to see how much ground could be gained, and also with the Waikato Tainui settlement. And we can see that we have in our past tried to consolidate ourselves as a representative body of Maori people nationally, but we've never really been able to achieve that. And I think largely because we're focused on representation rather than on empowerment. And, we've had the Kohuiro at the beginning, of course. We've had a couple of Kotahitanga movements. We've had a Kingitanga movement. We've had a Māori Congress movement. But none of those movements have really been founded upon economic stability, economic growth that can provide for our constituencies. And it occurs to me that the Iwi Chairs Forum, or the Iwi Leaders Forum, as it's become to be known, is a new attempt at achieving that consolidation. It's a new attempt at achieving what we might term today as a toka tumuana, to provide a foundation, to provide a platform, to provide a base upon which iwi can develop and which iwi can provide for their individual constituencies. I've been really impressed with the Iwi Chairs Forum and the work that it's done both nationally and locally amongst iwi. Because it's about manatukuihu, it's about balancing aspirations. And one of the things that we have to consider as iwi in the progression of our claims and our claim settlements is Te Tiriti o Waitangi. He whakaputanga was brought up, but really he whakaputanga is a covenant between ourselves as iwi and hapu Māori, declaring our nationhood, whereas Te Tiriti o Waitangi is an agreement between us and another nation, Ingarangi, and how we might survive together, standing in the one place on the one land. And I think that we have to use a Tiriti o Waitangi analysis to be able to derive pathways by which and through which we can deliver to our constituencies. For example, I would be one to say that iwi are not social welfare, and nor should they be, because there are certain disparities, certain phenomena that have occurred within the socio-economic context of our community that have been completely driven by the policies and actions of government and created a marginalised, dysfunctional scenario for Māori whānau to exist within. And so we ought not to let government and the political regime within this political septic tank that Sir Tipene describes get away with doing such damage to our communities and then say, now that you Māoris have settled, you can go and take care of those problems and we can all move on together. I think that is a real fallacy. But if we take just a couple of examples, I think, of how whānau need to be catered to and are unable to be catered to, and to the extent that iwi can, is in the area of education, where we have today in education still huge levels of underachievement, and the result of that underachievement is a marginalisation across every sector of New Zealand society. So why don't we have, why are we still immigrating doctors, why are we still immigrating professionals, when we have, all we're doing with our own people as Māori people is getting them prepared to spend time in prison. So there are whānau empowerment and realising whānau aspirations is not simply an iwi issue. It's also an issue that is reflected upon the requirements of government to be able to provide and support and work with iwi to achieve that. I'm not saying that iwi shouldn't be involved in education. And actually, historically, iwi haven't been involved in education. But there is a place for us in education, but there is a greater place for the state in its role to provide education for all the citizenship in terms of Article 1 and Article 3 of Te Tiriti o Waitangi. In those four areas, and I'm not going to talk for very long because I know we've got lunch coming up, but in those four areas, treaty settlements, I think, has played a very, very important role in re-establishing our identity, re-establishing our strength, re-establishing our potential, and creating opportunities for us as a Māori nation to move ahead. And in that sense, it's a realization of the aspirations of our kaumātuas. And I think back to 1984, people like Sir James, like John Ngiho, like Sunny Waru, who were the dreamers, and who were the fonts of cultural and political knowledge that we really armed ourselves with then, and I think that has served us well over the last 30 years. But of course, as people have mentioned today, the focus has been on primary asset development, and we know that the knowledge industry is where the wealth is being generated at the moment, and here we are focusing on primary asset development. It has been a focus on quantum, and we're faced with a dilemma as iwi: is it the mana or the money? And it is a real dilemma, because everything is quantified into value, and you have to determine your future direction based on a balance between the two. And of course the Hokai Moana is a perfect example of a national settlement that should have delivered to whānau Māori, but from my perspective as a little whānau Māori back in Ahipara on standing on the beach, it hasn't really delivered for us. But at least it's delivered for us as a nation, I suppose. Māori television is another one. Māori television, of course, Te Māngai Pāho, those phenomena were the result of the Māori language claim, of the work of the New Zealand Māori Council, Ngā Kai Whakapūmau Te Reo Māori, Huirangi Waikinepuru, Sir Graham Latimer, those people who mortgaged their properties to go and fight in the Privy Council to win the language claim, and to bring back the imperatives for government to invest in Māori broadcasting in order to raise te reo Māori. But have we really achieved that? And I think, looking back 30 years, I think it's still diminishing. So we move on to the other aspect about economic is that even when we try to develop economic infrastructure ourselves as iwi, for example, my iwi has tried to invest in ultra-fast broadband, in fibre to the home. So the government's on about fibre to the home. It's the next wave in communication. But we had to go and borrow $4.5 million off the Chinese in order to get our fibre to the home. We never got any support or any kind of backup from the New Zealand government to be able to achieve that. And I really endorse the concerns that Sir Tipene raised about the ups and downs, about the betrayals, really, historical betrayals of the government of the day in meeting our needs. In the environmental sector, we saw the RMA arise as a potential tower of strength for kaitiakitanga, but in the last few years we've seen it being pulled down, ripped apart, all the Māori things taken out of it, and now we see the RMA is not really about protecting Māori or cultural interests. The RMA is really about protecting business interests. And so it's really, you can see the ups and downs over time. And if it wasn't for treaty settlements, I would say, and led by Ngāi Tahu and Waikato Tainui, and supported by iwi like Tū Wharetoa, with the return of the bed of Lake Taupō, we would be in trouble with kaitiakitanga in this country. We wouldn't have much of it at all. And a lot of it has been kept and retained and gotten back through treaty claims. So this pushback is an ongoing struggle. And as I say, just like Kupu had to struggle, we all got to struggle today in 2014 too. But fortunately, even now in the new conservation ethos that's developing in this country, finally, we're beginning to have the notion of cultural capital understood and realised as a valuable commodity, both nationally and internationally. And we see this right across the board with other Indigenous peoples around the world, that they struggle even harder than we do to be able to establish their kaitiakitanga and to imbibe this idea, this notion of cultural capital, into the mainstream conservation management of the country. But having said that, the other losses as well. The seabed and foreshore, the failure by the government to acknowledge the Waitangi Tribunal's recommendations around oil and minerals, which has languished now for years, ignored completely by government. And yet, at the same time, the government is progressing a exploration and mining and minerals regime that is really what you might call today a form of muru of these rights. So I think that while we have made progress in some areas, we are not making progress in others. In terms of cultural identity, I talked a little bit about the reo, about the role of Ngā Kaiwhakapūmau. I'm really heartened, and I think it's a very important role for iwi, and we don't do it anywhere near enough, to support Te Reo Māori, Kapa Haka. I come from an iwi that we love the reo, we love the tikanga, but we don't pay a dollar to help our children go and, for their bus to go and attend the Kapa Haka festival. And so you can see there's a bit of a dichotomy there that we need to address as iwi. And of course, the whole thing about mana tuku iho, those are really important notions and concepts that we need to hold on to and to imbibe amongst our whānau, because at the end of the day, it's about our identity. And we know if you don't have the identity, if you don't have the rope to achieve that identity in terms of your reo and your tikanga, we're always going to struggle. So it should be a high priority for all iwi, and it certainly is for my iwi, to promote whānau empowerment through the regeneration of understanding and about our identity, not just identity of our people at home on the land, but identity of our people who, no matter where they live in the world, whether they live in England, whether they live in Australia or anywhere else. Kia rata hoki tō rātou nei mana, ko tātai hia nei kia tātou te iwi Māori. In the social sector, I described education, and it's good to see the state at the moment addressing that issue, but probably a greater issue, or as equally as great an issue, is the issue that people talked about before, respect and safety. Are our children safe? And I know a hell of a lot that are not. A hell of a lot that are not. So we've got to really pick up on that one. I'm involved in an initiative called E Tū Whānau, and about standing up for the cause of eradicating violence from our households, eradicating violence from our communities, and putting it where it should be, but not amongst our children and not amongst our families. It's probably the biggest single challenge for iwi today, is to eradicate this monster from our midst, because it is literally tearing us apart. And so finally, safety. Now, one of the things that, of course, we can gain sustenance from, both in terms of reo and also in terms of tikanga, is that we're not the only Māoris in the universe. There are 15 islands in the Cook Islands. They all speak Māori, a form of Māori. There's something like 200 isles in Tahiti. They all speak Māori. In Hawaii, in Rapa Nui, and as our rangatira said earlier, we mustn't think of ourselves as an isolated little motu. We have to extend, extrapolate, and engage with our tuakana and our taina, whichever it may be, in these places. And I've always thought myself that if we want te reo Māori to exist in this country as a spoken language, the chosen language of our people to be spoken, then we have no option but to connect and network with our Pacific Island relations, and to drink from their well, as they can come and drink from our well, because we have a shared and common ancestry, because Māui fish them up as well. And I want to end by saying that for us as an iwi, our single most important aspiration, certainly mine as the chairperson of my iwi, and I've been the chairperson of my iwi now for almost 9 years, and Will is saying he's trying to get elected, and I'm trying to sort of... because after 9 years, it gets a bit tiring. Unlike Ariki, like Sir Tumu, you're just born to it. You got no choice. Those of us who are elected democratically to it, we don't last very long. And Satipane will tell you that, because it doesn't take long for appreciation to diminish and aspirations to arise. But I think there are some certain bottom lines for us as an iwi that we must deliver for our whānau. One of them is about mana, the enhancement of mana. And along with mana comes tapu. So often we forget about tapu, about real tapu, not blessings, real tapu. Our iwi recently reinstated a rahui on 1.6 kilometres of coastline using real tapu. And it's amazing because no matter how ignorant you are as a Māori, when you hear the word tapu, you go, ooh, tapu. And it doesn't matter whether you're a gang member or you're a policeman or anybody else. You know? As soon as you institute the word tapu, and it's a real tapu, everyone says, okay, right. And we have to go back to that because we've actually walked away from our own mana in terms of authority. I got in trouble recently with some of my people at home because I called myself the chief of Aipara. And everyone said, who do you think you are? You call yourself a chief of Aipara. And I said, well, who is the chief of Aipara? And I'll tell you what, if you walk down the street of Kaitaia today and you ask any teenager of a sudden, who's the chief of Kaitaia? They'll say, oh, I don't know, died 100 years ago, bro. Chief of Kaitaia, long dead. And you see, what's happened? We've given it away. Our own mana tuku iho, our own authority that we've inherited from our tupuna, that they inherited from Ngā Atua Māori, that they inherited from Iho Matua Kore. Here we are, tukuna atu, kariru, mate kaunihera tato e whakanui, mate puni kōkuri hoki tato e whakanui. And we get stuck in that bit of a groove, you know. Ka ware ware hoki ki tō tato nei mana tuku iho, te mana tapu o tato mātua tupuna. Another bottom line, I think, is whenua, maunga, awa, moana, and ahikāroa me te tātai o te whenua ki te tangata. Kia tūwai hei tangata whenua. Here te mea he kaupapa hou, he kaupapa mai rāno tēnā kaupapa. Kia u hoki tātou ki tēnā whakaaro. Ahako ko he te tamaiti e haere arirana i rungi te matua te whenua putono ki te ao, he tātai no tōna ki te whenua, he tātai ki te maunga, he tātai no ki te marae. Kia tū tēnā hei mana Māori motuhake. And of course our mātauranga, we know that our mātauranga is a very special aspect of our existence. We know that our tupuna, when they came here on their waka, brought with them the wānanga. And yet here we are, ko āhua huna hoki tō tātou nei wānanga, ko riro mā ngā whare wānanga nei e whakaora ai. And yet, kei reira ke, ngā kōrero e pāna ki o tātou nei wānanga, me te tapu o tēnā wānanga, te mātauranga Māori, mai rāno, kei kona anō wēnā māramatanga, hei oranga anō mō a tātou nei tamariki mokopuna. And the last point I want to make is about whakapapa. And I know that you know, Vikings of the Sunrise is a bit of an old book these days, but I think that whānau, hapū, and iwi is a natural phenomena. And no matter how hard you try to have a kaunihera or some other kind of ropu or some other kind of torangapu or aharane, at the end of the day, ma te tātai, ma te whakapapa, e tātai hia nei ki a tātou, kia tū ai te whānau, kia tū ai te hapū, kia tū tonu hoki te iwi. Our biggest problem at home is that we've got hapū wanting to be the iwi. I can't wait for the day that whānau want to be a hapū. Nā reira, i rungi e nei kōrero, mihi kauana ki a tātou katoa, ki ngā rangatira. Ko koutou kē ngā ramaroa, kia kite atu ai te iwi, te huarahi whakamua. Nā reira, tēnā koutou, kia ruhuhi mai tātou katoa.